We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we're not going to talk much attorney stuff, but I do want to ask you your thoughts. And this happened a week ago, but the White House still has not acknowledged, or the president hasn't, that they found cocaine in the West Wing. And I think that his media folk tried downplaying it. It was in a cubbyhole. But it's, as you had mentioned, it's like the most sacred building we have in our nation. And people are bringing in cocaine. And I'll tell you what, I would say if Vegas was setting odds, the odds would be that Hunter had something to do with it. But that's not the accusation. And that's not, he hasn't been, no one has said that it was him. But people are wondering, was it him? So,
yeah,
it's alarming, though.
What the crazy part about it, Bob, is they just can't, the story keeps changing. First, it was found
in the library.
It was found outside. Then it was found inside. And, first they started to say it was a tourist must have brought it in. Then it was a worker. Oh, they're redoing the situation room, so a worker could have brought it in. Then one day it was found near the vice president's motorcade. Let's be honest. You've got the son of the president has a history of using this drug. And there's that video from about a week or so, or right about the time when they found it, and he's acting all bizarre around the family, and it's almost like a guy that's going through withdrawal because somebody took his stash.
Yes, and he also did not spend the 4th of July with the family. I think he's married, right? His wife or girlfriend did, but yeah. He was nowhere to be seen. Maybe they threw him in rehab.
Maybe, but it's just so bizarre how they just can't answer honestly about anything.
Okay,
one of the press people said, "What would happen if it had been anthrax?"
Exactly, you could get anthrax in as easily as you could get cocaine in. Then, based on that, the other thing, where are the cameras? The White House must have more cameras than any other building in the world. They cannot figure out who went to that specific spot. And I don't believe any of it where they're saying that it was. I would be more inclined to believe the original comment that it was in the library, because you have some discretion in the library if you're the only one in there.
Right. And, I've seen some interviews with folks that had been either worked in the West Wing or were Secret Service. And some have said the only way that you can get something like that in would be to bypass the checkpoints, because there's checkpoints all over to get into that section of the White House. And they said the only two parties that can bypass the checkpoints are the Secret Service,
and family.
They didn't bring it in, and those who they're protecting.
And he's got protection, Hunter Biden, right? He does have Secret Service with him.
Right.
And boy, I bet that these guys would love to talk. The things that they can tell us, but they're sworn to see. They have their own vow of omerta, like in the mafia.
Right.
So, what a mess. All right, now I'm going to shift gears on you. Something a little more happier news. You went to the Iola Car Show?
Iola Car Show, yep.
And you saw Eddie Munster and the Beaver. Who played Jerry Mathers as the Beaver, and what was the Eddie Munster character? What's his real name?
Butch Patrick.
That's right, Butch Patrick. Does he have the little peak in the top of his head like he does a kid?
He doesn't, but he did. He was at a tent signing with some. There was the guy by the name of George Barris that designed a lot of those old cars for movies and TV, and he did the Batmobile, and he had done the Dracula coffin car for I think it might have been Grandpa Munster's car. Anyway, that car was parked in the tent with Butch Patrick. But no, the Iola Car Show, it's a huge deal. It's in Iola, Wisconsin. It's been going on now for over 50 years. I think 1972 was the first year. And every year they have a different theme. And so they have one area, a lot of cars from that theme. And then they have your pre-war cars and your post-war cars and some of the best ones. The theme this year was the Fabulous 50s. So you had a lot of big, cars that were the size of aircraft carriers with fins and, turquoise and, bright colors. But some of the in more notable ones, there were some movie cars, or some people had done movie cars. You had Christine, you had the 58 Plymouth Fury.
Oh yeah.
You had a DeLorean that was done up to be a time machine, like Back to the Future. There was a Volkswagen Beetle that was done up like Herbie the Love Bug, and that one actually honked its horn and shot water at people, like Herbie did. And then there was a lot of old like Ford, like Model Ts and stuff. And there was one that was, they had, you know, it was very rustic. It had in lieu of a seat, they just put a sofa on the frame of the Model T and had that in the show. So you get a real eclectic mix of cars there. And the scary thing is, that made me feel old, is, you know, what you see cars there and you're like, wow, why is that doing here? Wait a minute. Collectors 20 years. Oh my God, that's a collector car now. And you feel old. I mean, some of the stuff like Mazda Miatas, like, yeah, they're 30 years old. Yeah, they qualify as a collector car. It's
really? Oh, I should get collector plates for my son's truck.
Yeah.
Two of them. 20,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It was only 20 years. That's it to be a collector?
20 years, yeah, 20 years qualifies it as a collector car.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems too early or too soon. There's a lot of 20-year-old cars on the road that are not getting their collector plates. Now, how many Edsels were there? That's a collector.
There were a couple of Edsels, and there was a drawing that we all entered to win a chance at winning an Edsel, but unfortunately I didn't get the phone call, so I'm assuming I didn't win it.
Well, hopefully it'll still come. Now, you had mentioned that there's also a place where you can buy a lot of magazines and you could buy a lot of plans. You had gotten the wiring. What do you have, a 66 Fairlane, did you say?
Yeah, I have a 66 Ford Fairlane 500 XL, and there's a, you know, every, there's a swap meet as part of this big car show. And there's somebody in the swap meet area that they sell the literature. So it could be ads, it could be owner's manuals, it could be, I mean, anything about these cars, right? And going, and they have them arranged by year, by make and by model. And so 20 years ago, I was at this show with my father-in-law for the first time, and I went over to the literature booth and I found a set. It was a booklet. It was the wiring diagrams for the 1966 Ford Fairlane. So all the wiring went together in the, you know, inside the car.
Yeah.
And I bought it because at that point my Fairlane was in pieces in my parents' basement and partially restored, sitting in their garage. Well, fast forward to a couple of years ago when I handed over to my mechanic Tim Gerber to put it back together. And one of the things I gave him was those wiring diagrams. So lo and behold, the wiring diagrams I buy in Iola at the car show in like 2003, 2004, end up actually being used for their intended purposes of putting the wiring back into the car. So they, you know, that's why people go and buy those things, is because they could be restoring a car and they want the factory diagrams and things like that.
Well, do you still have the car you drove there back in 2003 or 4? Because there's a good chance it'd be a collector's vehicle.
It would have been. No, I do not. I think it was my 97 Audi A4, and I do not. I haven't had that car in a long, long time. It was a fun car to drive, but I learned the hard way, you don't buy an Audi when it's not on warranty. They're very expensive to maintain.
Hey, I got news for you. Don't buy anything if it's not on warranty, unless you have a mechanic in the family, which fortunately I do, but I keep hounding him to do different things for me, and now I got him, you know, he needs to put a new alternator in our Bobcat, which I'm sure he's looking forward to. The good thing is, though, if you keep charging it, it's fine, but you got to remember that. As a matter of fact, at some point today, I need to go and stick on the charger because I know that it'll be needed to bring hay to the ponies, that sort of thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, Jeff, any more big car shows coming up? Because that sounds like a fun thing.
There is actually one out near our area, Bob. I think it's August 19th out in Maple Lake. They have a really big one. It's called like their Gearhead Get Together, and it's like takes up the entire city of Maple Lake, so I'm planning to go out and check that out.
Definitely check that out.
Impressive. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. We'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.